Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Here on Saturday, it's time for the weekend edition of Busted Open Radio Podcast Edition. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell, and joining me, as always, on a Saturday, got my tag team partner, the one and only World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry. And Mark, we are diving into Friday night, surprise, surprise, as we talk about SmackDown last night and Rampage, AEW, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus getting it in against Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. And also on this episode, we celebrate and we talk about one Randy Orton breaking some records this weekend, Mark Henry.
Yeah, Randy is super important to the world of pro wrestling and his history.
Yeah, so check out what records are being broken here inside this episode. And also on this episode, Mark, a very enlightening and informative conversation with one half of Hit Row, Ashante Adonis and Top Dollar slash AJ Francis stopping by for a very good conversation.
He's torn, but he's got Luchasaurus and Christian Cage with a steel chair blocking the way to the ring. Jungle Boy back in the snare trap. Got it locked in tight. Got a tap out.
Wow, he got him.
Got him.
Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
Taz, what a victory here for Jurassic Express in our main event. You see the Young Bucks and Adam Cole held at bay by Christian Cage in that steel chair.
Yeah, you got it, man. You hit me with that Jurassic Express music, and I said it last night. Said it last night on Twitter. Now I'm getting confused because I got 25 lighters and I got the Jurassic Express music. But I say I start vibing when that Jurassic Express music hits, Mark. I start vibing like Angelico. I just like turns man. Into, I get my fizz face on. I start lounging. Yeah, I just start, I just feel good, man. Feel good.
Man, the crowd, I love that, man. I'll go out into the arena sometimes and just stand in and listen to the crowd react organically. And, man, you forget how much of a drug that is. To be able to be out there in front of those people and to get the reaction. And there's not many people that get the reaction of Jungle Boy. And the crowd participation at the end of his matches, they invoke a party. They start a party. That's basically what it is. And everybody likes a good party.
Yeah, because it's fun. Now you talk about that feeling, that addiction, that response that you get from the crowd. I mean, I can only imagine. Because Mark, like yesterday, I love the show we did yesterday on Friday on Busted Open. I was in for LaGreca. We got to hang out on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. We had Tony Khan on, Gerald Briscoe, Justin Labar. We had a lot to talk about. It was just a fun-flowing show. Went quick, liked everything that we got out of it. Point being, I'm trying to make here, is after the show, you know, kind of on a high. You're like, damn, that was good. That played well. You're thinking back on the things that you know, went well and the things that you liked. And you got, you're hyped. You got an energy. You know what I'm saying? At least I'm speaking for myself. Now, I try to imagine what that must be like to do that for a live audience for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and to get the response from the crowd, to hear the cheers, to feel the cheers, to smell it, to smell the beer on the arena floor, right? To have that whole experience and then to drive home after a show. Man, I don't know how you guys sleep.
Man, that's one of the reasons why you can get in the car and drive 2.5 hours, 3 hours, because you're so, like, just completely crunk, man. I mean, it is – that adrenaline is more powerful than Red Bull and all of that stuff that people drink, Monsters and, you know, whatever else they those drinks –
Let's ask Andre. Andre's our Andre, resident.
What are you messing with my Red Bull for?
Andre, what you sipping on this morning? Because I know you got some of that nitro fuel kicking next
coffee
year.
This time. Starbucks coffee.
Oh, okay.
I'm going nice and basic.
OG.
All coffee. You know, I forgot about that. The OG. But like, you can get in the car and just roll. And then if you have somebody riding with you, then you start talking about what could have been. Man, I missed out on this. I should have done this. And next time I'm going to do this. And next thing you know, you're 3 hours down the road. And you get to the hotel and you just crash then, because now it's like all of that weight is off you.
Sure.
And
it's
a good feeling. If you can sleep till 8 or 9 o'clock, then you feel refreshed. But if you got to get up at 6 a.m. and go do media, bro, 3 hours of sleep don't feel like nothing. You just feel like the alarm. Everybody know that feeling. You just
Don't even make that sound. Just say the alarm. Don't even, you're triggering me there. I don't even.
I triggered you. My bad.
Yeah, I got triggered.
I hate that damn alarm, man.
Fuck
it,
you!
Worse.
Yeah, no, I got like a soft rain waking me up on my, I don't even know what my ringer is now, but I've made it quite sure that when that ringer hits at 4:15 or whatever ungodly time I get up here on the West Coast for this show, that it's very calm and quaint and easy on my ears, man. This shit's dramatic.
If I had soft rain, there would be no show. You'd be like, man, I guess Mark overslept. That's what it would be every Saturday with us. Quiet rain.
Just make you sleep
harder. I find that peaceful.
I was going to say, it's going to put you in a deeper sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to hit another realm of deep sleep with what you call it, quiet rain.
Oh,
my
fuck.
God, Andre.
Get
bastard.
Come on.
Why does he do that? Andre, we're trying to be friends with him. And then he'll do shit like that ever so often. I'll show Mark it.
As we established yesterday, I am a sadistic fuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, this is true.
It's true. It's damn true.
No,
Andre, you're not getting a Christmas card this year.
Man, damn it.
It's all right. Does he even celebrate
Christmas? I'm
going to
give you a
Christmas
card. It's just not going to have anything in it.
Does he even celebrate Christmas with his tarot cards and his... And his voodoo,
his
and
evil.
Like, I feel like, I was going to say, he's a man of darkness, aren't you, Andre?
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I have one angel wing, one devil wing, a little bit of both. Have a Christmas tree up and do a little Saturnalia celebrating.
Oh,
or no, what was
some
the other one? Yule.
Black.
Happy Yule, guys.
Christmas with Malachi Black and Andre. Well.
Yeah.
That's we'll see how that plays out. We still got about a month away until Christmas. So, maybe we'll see what happens with Andre. But speaking of seeing what happens, Mark, listen, we'll get back to AEW because I really want to talk about Jade Cargill and Red Velvet in that match, and more specifically what that means going forward in that TBS Women's Tournament, because the match itself, okay, that was fine. It's more about what it sets the table down the road. But as we talk about the ladies, I do want to follow up on what we left the last segment with going off into break, and that was the finish of Becky and Charlotte. You've said that, hey, you know, you've joked, and I mean, maybe you're not joking. You say it's going to be the best 2 minutes we've ever seen. I do think we're going to get a match. I do think that it's going to be a proper story that's told. I think the WWE obviously knows this is a big event. That's why they had Charlotte on ESPN and Becky with her interviews, and they're obviously promoting this match. I expect to get a match. Mark, I have no idea what the hell this finish is going to look like, because I don't know how you're going to get one of these women, one of these talents to agree to take the pin or the to be the loser here. Mark, you've been in situations like this, the backstage conversations, who takes the L, right? What the hell is going to happen with Becky and Charlotte?
I don't know, but I do know what the start is going to be like.
Okay.
The whole crowd is going to be like junior high. Fight, 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 fight. And if it go more than 3 minutes, I'd be impressed, because that's what fights do. Fights, man, it's going to be color. It's going to be blood everywhere. Ooh.
Promise?
It's got to be. I can't make no promises. I'm not there, but I've seen a bunch of fights before. Bunch of them.
Well.
And somebody eye gets cut, a lips get busted, a nose is bleeding. Like, this is fight, fight, fight. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Well, we should be excited.
I'm rubbing my hands together like the old evil character.
It is a pay-per-view weekend. Not only with Survivor Series obviously going down, but we got Turning Point going down tonight on Impact Plus right here in Sin City in Las Vegas, going down at Sam's Town, Mark. And we got Moose coming up in Hour 3 to talk about it. Impact World Champion. Very excited about that. I was going to say, he meets Eddie Edwards, and if anybody saw Impact on Thursday, we got to talk about fights. Those two men, Mark, are going to be getting it in later tonight at Turning Point, and I'm very excited to talk to Moose.
Hey, did you see the ladder that Eddie pulled out? That he was going to
30-foot.
He was going to splash Moose through the table. I was like, they're going through the floor. There's, please. And luckily enough for Moose, he was able to escape. But I got big questions for Moose when he comes on. I got big questions. Some of it is about fashion, too.
The man can dress.
Man looked like $1 million. I just want to know what that material is. Because, like, he did all of that in that suit and didn't get a rip or nothing. I want to know what the hell material that is. I got to get some suits made out of that.
Well,
you got that John
Wick
suit on.
We'll get to the bottom. Yeah, the bulletproof. We'll get to the bottom of that in Hour 3. And in Hour 2, which, well, shit, man, we're half an hour away from it. We're going to be hitting the nation with Weekly Winner, where myself and Mark Henry give you Busted Open Nation the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. But when we come back, let's keep the conversation going on Friday night. We'll dive back more into Friday night.
Hey, everyone, this is Kirk Morris.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce 3 new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all 3 podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I do have to make this note, and it does have to do with Survivor Series, but more specifically, it has to do with one, Randy Orton. Check this out. Randy Orton, last night on Twitter, letting us all know, he didn't even know, but he's letting us know that he just found out there's some history on the line for Mr. Orton come tomorrow. Listen to this. This is a multi-tweet, but I do want to read it. Quote, "I've never been one to keep records or stats throughout my career. Early on, it was laughable to consider in my profession you had wins and losses. You certainly wouldn't talk about it with the boys, much less the fans. But I'm fortunate to have some fans and friends that have done just that, kept my stats. Not just wins and losses, but damn near everything you could think of. It came to my attention that tomorrow at Survivor Series, I'll set a new record for most pay-per-view matches by anyone in WWE history. The following night on Raw, coincidentally, if I have a match, I'll have had more matches on Raw than anyone in history. I saw this, checked it online, and it is true. Kind of hard to believe, as it feels like only yesterday I started down in OVW. I just want to take a minute in light of these stats and let everyone out there that's ever supported me in any way know that I am thankful. I also know with all of my heart that I couldn't have done it without you. Now, on to my 15th Survivor Series. Man, time flies, don't it? Man, Mark, the most pay-per-view matches in WWE history, and then if he has a match on Raw, that will also be the most for Raw. I mean, this is, I know how highly you think of Randy Orton. I hopefully this is a notch in the belt of the doubters, the detractors, the people out there that don't fully understand the greatness of this legend. No longer the legend killer, the man is a first ballot Hall of Famer and a legend himself.
Yeah. I go a long way with Randy, and Randy makes me emotional because, like, I love the dude because of his journey. He made a lot of mistakes, just like I did.
Yeah.
Randy found out that he actually had friends, and he found out that people actually care about him. And his wife, Kim, I thank God for her. She changed him. She allowed him to grow as a man without emasculating him, because a lot of women try to change their men so much that they diaper him and make them kids. Randy's a grown-ass man with an opinion, and he grew the fuck up. And from a wrestling standpoint, that's him as a man. From a wrestling standpoint, it's going to be hard to put Randy in the Mount Rushmore. But Randy is in the top 10 wrestlers of all time. It's him wild, and Jericho have shot up the ladder more in the last 3 years than any other wrestlers have in their careers. Just from the simple fact that longevity. But let me lean in real quick. At this age that Randy is wrestling, at this age that Chris Jericho is wrestling, they are better than they was when they were young. That don't happen.
I'll give you that
very
about Orton.
Often.
I was to say, I'll give you Randy, that on Orton. Jericho, I think. Jericho is, I think, surprising people. I get what you're saying. The fact that he is so good at this age, it makes you, you can easily say he's doing some of the best work of his career. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, both of them. But on Randy's side, when we did our fantasy wrestling draft, I picked Randy first. He's the most versatile wrestler in history.
Yep.
Over the Mount Rushmore. He could outwork Hogan on his best day. He stood toe-to-toe with The Undertaker for over 15 years. He embodied what Ric Flair had and took it to another level. He's not been an attraction like Andre the Giant, but he has wrestled. He was so good that you had to put him against the best guy on the card every night. That's why he's had so many WrestleManias. He's had so many pay-per-views, and he has so many Monday Night Raw main events. I rest
buttery
my case.
Buttery smooth.
Randy Orton is the only smooth wrestler in history to be where he is in pro wrestling. Normally, those guys get other guys over. The job guys.
Hand.
The dude is so damn fluid. So easy to work. And I owe him for the rest of my life because of the match that he and I had at Hell in a Cell. For the rest of my life. So, yes, I'm biased about Randy, But I can argue that point with anybody, and I can tell you 20 stories about his greatness and things that I've heard other great wrestlers say about him. Number one pick with me. Always. I'm going to pick him first because he could do everything. Good, bad, comic, comedic.
As we're seeing right now. I mean, RK-Bro is money. Money.
You look what he did with Bray Wyatt. Yep. Theatrical. Randy told me a long time ago, he said, man, I wish that I could go to the children's hospitals with you. He said, I can't, man. It hurt me too deep. He said, people get mad at me because I don't go to all the charity things. He said, I feel too deeply for them people to be out there. It wasn't a cop out. The dude couldn't go because he didn't want to cry in front of people. That's why he didn't go. And he might be mad at me for telling his business. But, Randy, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you get assassinated because people, you know, and people care about that stuff. I do. I always ask guys to do the community involvement stuff. That's my thing. Sure. I love people.
Yeah.
I want to see people get blessed. And Randy was like, man, I'm going to be useless. I can't do it. Yeah. So I don't hold it against him.
Well, no, and I wouldn't either. Why would you? That's a man knowing himself, right? And I also think it speaks volumes. And I think Randy, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he would also, and through the course of this conversation, give a tip of the cap to the people that can with the regularity, especially a guy. I mean, Randy, arguably his greatest rival, John Cena. I mean, it's a testament to Cena for being able. That's not to say that Cena doesn't feel that, right? It's just Cena's able to compartmentalize it. He's able to handle it and to shoulder that in ways that maybe some other talents can't. And again, it's not just a Randy thing, right? It's just a.
There's a lot of people that feel that way.
That's what I was going to say. It's a lot of people that feel that way, and everyone reacts to it differently. And no, I think that's an awesome little bit of a window inside the personality of Randy Orton. And also, Randy was a heel for so long. I wonder, does that play into effect when you do those sort of visits?
Is like probably.
You
don't want
the, yeah, probably. The Viper showing up at children's hospitals. But no, I. When you talk about the legends of the game, man, he, yes, like I said, from legend killer to legend himself, and now to one of the most active, one of the most dominant talents in WWE. Big tip of the cap to the Viper, Randy Orton, here on a Saturday.
Hey, everyone, this is former NFL linebacker and current SiriusXM NFL radio host Kirk Morrison, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, Total Coverage. Each week, I'll be joined by some of the greatest minds in the game as we explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results. Whether we're breaking down player techniques, game plans, or coaching philosophies, we'll explain the details that define our favorite performances. New episodes will be available every Tuesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Joining us right now, AJ Francis and Tahuti Miles, otherwise known as Ashante Adontis. Gentlemen, I know it has been a wild 48, 72 hours, you know, whatever you want to call it. First of all, how are both of y'all feeling? What's the energy level right now between you guys? What's the mood like?
I mean, to be honest, we know that we are talented, and we know that, you know, just a us being released is just a child of circumstance. It's not really much more we could have done to prove that we belonged. And, you know, when I get released and WWE Hall of Famers are the first people that reach out to me and say, man, I don't know what they're doing, then I know that I did something right. So.
Yeah, I agree. I talk to a lot of people, you know, WWE Hall of Famers as well reached out to me, and a lot of people in WWE reach out to me. My mood, I mean, I'm doing good, you know, still shocked and stuff, but, I'm doing good. You know, I feel like I have a really good mindset about everything, and, yeah, I'm just ready to start the next chapter. So
you talk about still feeling shocked. Obviously, you know, the pro wrestling world was shocked. I mean, we're used to cuts, right? But, you know, then those names come down like Malachi Black or Bray Wyatt or Hit Row, and you're just kind of like, wait, what? Like, I understand people getting cut. This doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when y'all just got drafted on up to SmackDown, right? You're appearing on television. They're telling us that this is an important story that we need to follow, and then the rug essentially gets pulled out from underneath us as fans. Now, that's as fans. You guys are obviously Hit Row. You're what we're enjoying. What was the surprise factor on your end? How did this come about? How did the release happen? And I mean, I mean, we're talking right now. It sounds like you were pretty surprised.
Yeah, I mean,
I was just sitting in the. Thursday morning was a little weird because like we were booked, you know, for SmackDown, Survivor Series, and Raw. And then we were like unbooked, and then they booked us again, and then we were unbooked. So I'm like, okay, it's what goes on, in WWE. There's a lot of things to figure out and stuff. So I was just like, oh, okay, maybe they'll have something for us, and we'll file Saturday or something like that. But then I remember watching Thursday Night Football, and I missed the call from John Laurinaitis, and so I called him back, and he just told me, hey, budget cuts and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, thank you. it is what it is.
No, but yeah. It's hard. I can hear the frustration and the pain in your voice. Nobody wants to be rejected. Never. Especially when you got a lot of pride and confidence in your work. Like, don't downplay it. Like, I mean, this is a safe place. Busted Open, we're the voice for the wrestler. We talk about the companies, but our emphasis is on wrestling and the people that do it at a high level. So don't feel at all like something's wrong with that, bro. AJ, y'all didn't y'all just get like a tour of the Titan Tower?
Yeah, yes. I mean, we just went to HQ and met everybody and talked to everybody and talked about how we were going to get action figures and how we were going to be DLC in the video game and all these different things. And,
yeah, a lot of good stuff. Yeah.
It just everything got pulled out underneath of us. And to be honest, like when we got taken off of this weekend, I knew then that we were about to get released, even though I didn't contact anybody or tell anybody, because that's the same thing that happened to Brianna. When Brianna got released, we were all booked to do a Black Friday commercial together, which we end up shooting without her, which obviously they're not going to be able to use this Friday anymore. But we were all booked to do the commercial together, and then she got unbooked, and we didn't know or understand why. And then found out that she was released. So once we were booked for Friday and we weren't booked for, Survivor Series or Raw yet. So then they unbooked us Thursday morning for SmackDown, but then said we're still needed for Survivor Series and Raw. And then they were like, oh, actually you don't, we don't need you for Survivor Series and Raw either. And then as soon as I saw that, I knew the writing was on the wall. So, it's sad, man, because I feel like we showed that we had a lot to offer, and not to mention the fact that I never even got a chance to show what I could do in the ring. I mean, that was my biggest downfall, I think, from my time in WWE, is that I spent the first year and a half with people pretending that I didn't know how to work because they didn't give me a chance to. And then once they finally started giving us chances in the ring, they would give us 2-minute squash matches, 3-minute squash matches. We had one match that went longer than 10 minutes. And it was the main event with Legado del Fantasma, and it was an incredible match, and I did the 3-man move, and I was working 20, 30 minute main event matches on the indies before I got to WWE, and then I get to WWE and they're like, well, we need to see what you can do. It's more like I always just thought it was funny, they didn't do that with other people. With other people, they would just be like, oh, here, here's 20 minutes, go have a match. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would tell us that we need more work in the ring. Well, you guys just need more seasoning in the ring, but then they wouldn't give us matches. So like how are we supposed to?
That's so funny. That's so funny because I know. So I got signed in to WWE, and my first day was August 14, 2019. And second, I came in, I already knew who I was as a character and what I wanted to do. And you know, I feel like they just didn't, I guess, understand me and understand what I was doing. So, you know, but I'm just saying that, like, I feel like I was really, really good at this stuff in all aspects of sports entertainment.
You are.
And a lot of true hard work, like not even like at the PC. I'm talking about, like, I'm thinking about my character 24/7. Literally to my left, I have a whiteboard of Ashante the Adonis and like character development, and you know, I even have a hit row section. But I've literally thought in detail about this, everything about this character since day one.
The craziest part about, like, with the creative process with us is, like, when we first got called up to SmackDown, they were like, all right, we want you guys to do promos against the Usos, write promos for the Usos, the New Day, the Viking Raiders, the women's division for Brianna, and then, like, an introductory promo. And the introductory promo that we did on SmackDown with our debut was the promo that we wrote that night when we wrote all five of those promos. But I bring it up because it was 2:00 in the morning and we're writing these promos, and we record the promos so we can, like, we record us saying the promos so we can send it to them so that they can see what we're going to say, how we're going to say it. Because sometimes you see stuff on paper and it doesn't translate the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't comprehend what, from the paper, how it's going to come off. So we sent them the videos of us doing the promos so that they could see it. And they were like, wow, we love the work ethic. Nobody does anything like this. Nobody dedicates themselves to do things like this. And then, like, all for naught. So it's just wild to me.
I got a question for you guys. Was there ever a time where you felt like you fell short, or you got heat, or you did something that was detrimental to you being there?
They got mad that when Brianna got released, that I called up to the office and was like, I don't understand why you would release Brianna. She was like, we are a foursome group. Like, you take Brianna out of the group and we're still cool. And we can still do all the same things, but we're just every 3-man wrestling group. You know what I'm saying?
It's not the same. You know, some of that uniqueness is gone.
They were upset because when they took Brianna out of the group, they wanted to redo the song. So they did like a remix of the song, but the song don't sound the same without her part of it. So what we did was we went in the studio and made a new song. And I guess they were upset that we made a new song, but we're a rap group. So it's like, how are we a rap group if we can't make a song? Like, then we're just wrestlers.
Well,
it's got, man.
Certainly. Mark, this is something we've talked about, right? The it not making any sense. Like, it's okay for releases to happen. It's okay for this stuff to happen. It's a business. We understand it. It's the words like budget cuts, right? When you've got the money, like, we know what type of money you're making. We know that money, at least in terms of bottom dollar, it can't be a concern. It just can't be, like, in terms of the actual word budget cuts. So it feels like, as a fan, and I can only speak as a fan, you guys, right? It feels like we're being lied to. It feels like they're treating us like idiots, right? So that's the way I feel as a fan. When you hear the word budget cuts, you know, Mark asked, like, is there something you can point to? Is there something you can look at that maybe that signaled in the end? Guys, it's not budget cuts. So when you look back, it's not your work. It's not what you do. Tahuti, like, I mean, everything that you guys do, you said you feel like you're a good worker. You are a good worker. You guys are creative. You guys had a great thing going. I hope it continues down the line, but budget cuts ain't it. So is there something you can point to? Is it just too many chefs in the kitchen?
Ryan, before you ask that question, it reminds me of Iron Man when all the shit start going down and Tony is talking to Rhodes, and he says, he's like, so what am I supposed to say? He said, well, just tell him it was a training exercise. That's what budget cuts is. It's a prefabricated reason to get off the topic. That was just a training exercise. Nobody was hurt in the deal. But here we are. Oh, it was budget cuts. People are hurt. It's the holidays. You're going to do it, one, during the holidays. Two, you're going to do it when nobody knew. I mean, it's just like, hey, you just threw this on people. If you have somebody in your corporate office a couple of days before explaining how you're going to use them going forward, and everything is all fine and dandy, you mean to tell me that one hand is not washing the other? Like, somebody else didn't notice already that I just don't feel like this is where we're going? We the organizational piece is what we keep saying. And that's why I asked you the question, do you feel like you did something? Not because I heard that you did something, but because I always try to look in the mirror first and see what I did before I can make my corrections.
And I mean, people want to bring up the fact about the song that I released for Jinder and Shanky on Twitter that people got mad about. But Jinder Mahal himself not only loved the song, but said, and I have the proof of it, but said that I said nothing wrong in the song. This is Jinder saying this. The whole point of it was the fact that we were in a feud together and we were trying to get more juice in the feud. Like, me and Jinder are cool. Like, that was the whole point of it. When people are like, oh, the beat he used was insensitive. The beat that I use is called Beware by Punjabi MC, which is the most famous Indian sample in the history of hip hop. And when I picked the beat, Jinder Mahal was sitting right next to me in the locker room when we formulated the plan to do this. So it's like, for people to be upset with me and think that that's a reason why we got fired is ridiculous, because even Jinder himself went and talked to them and was like, nah, it's not like that. Like, we planned this out together.
Well, that's just the people thinking they know everything, and they really don't.
Bingo.
I mean, me personally, I'm very, and AJ can tell you this too, I'm a very to myself person. I would say I'm quiet most of the time. Very opposite of what I present on TV and stuff.
Ashanti Adonis. Ashanti Adonis is not exactly those things. That's not the category I would put him in.
That shows how good of a worker he is.
Yes, well said.
Yeah, AJ. Yeah. Like my real personality. I'm very to myself person. I actually do like being alone and like to myself and stuff, and just like in my zone and stuff. But so like say, I know like I was like that, you know, at work as well, be very to myself. So I don't see how I would have heat with anything at all. So yeah. I don't understand it.
And you know? And the thing is, like, when people would, like, all the times, like, I said this yesterday on Twitter, like, there was so many times, like, I'm a 31-year-old grown man, right? I've accomplished a lot of things in my life. And people in this business like to treat you like you're a little kid all the time. And if I would have actually, and Mark knows this, as a black man in America, if I actually showed my frustration and anger with situations, I'd have been for the 2 years that
I was
there.
You're the angry black man. You're the angry
black
man.
Exactly. I would have been fired two years ago.
Right.
I made a point to never do that. And even when people would constantly disrespect me and us, and with the little things that they say that they don't understand what they're saying, but we hear it and internalize it. It's like, what do you expect from us? You want us to just sit on our hands and let you say whatever you want to say to me about whatever you want to say because you can? Like, even if you go look at when we was on SmackDown, we did the segment with Sammy. Like, we were rehearsing the segment, and the audio was really loud in the arena. So I politely asked, and Tahuti was there, and anyone that was there with us, I politely asked, do you think that we could turn down the audio in the arena a little bit, you know, just so that the people in the arena because it was they were playing music. It was like, so the people in the arena can hear what we're saying so we can get a reaction from them and whatnot. And I don't know what was said, but something was said about me over the headset that was so disrespectful that three different producers who heard it on the headset came up to me and apologized to me afterwards, even though I didn't even hear what was said. So clearly something was said very wild and disrespectfully because they felt the need to apologize to me for something I didn't even know. So like, but if I would have said, if I would have heard it and said anything back, then I'm disgruntled and I'm aggressive and I'm the angry black man. Like, so it's like, you know, it's unfortunate the way that things shape out, but at the end of the day, I'm not telling nobody to never watch WWE again. I'm going to watch WWE. I'm not sitting there pretending that I'm not. I watch everything. Right. But it's like,
yeah, well, but, I feel you on that.
But also, that's not the end all be all. That's not where we have to be successful. We are more than capable of going anywhere in this world and making the same impact. You got to really think about it. When we was on NXT, people loved us on NXT. Bro, we was getting 45 seconds. We was getting a minute.
Like, yeah,
I know, because we were talking about it on Saturday.
We talked about
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
we were doing the max with the minimum.
So imagine we go somewhere
like.
Else.
That's what I always felt like.
Imagine we go somewhere else and they give us 3 minutes a week. Imagine what we can do to your programming if we go somewhere else and get 3 minutes a week.
You two gentlemen, all four of you, I'm talking obviously to AJ Francis and to Hootie Miles, but fellas, I can't wait to see what is next because both of y'all, all four of y'all, are way too talented to be on the market for too long. So whatever comes next, we look forward to hearing about it.
Thank you
we'll
for
be
coming on, too.
To talk about it.
Appreciate you guys.
Man, how can we reach y'all on social media?
You can follow me on social media at AJFrancis410.
Yeah, and my Instagram is now at Tahuti Miles. If you go on my Instagram, my link to my Twitter's there.
All right, awesome.
All right, there you go. Tahuti Miles.
Yeah, we appreciate
AJ
y'all.
Francis, one half a Hit Row.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.